He says, I will not have you ignorant. So a man can be ignorant of things of the spirit. Now, you know the interesting thing, when the average person, and this is the truth from even my practice, that when you read this portion, you know, when you say, I will not have you ignorant, the thing that registers on people's minds oftentimes are the gifts of the Spirit. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying here. You get what I'm saying? That the gifts of the Spirit, you say, well, you're not ignorant of, and then you can classify gifts of the Spirit. You can say tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of Spirit, and all that. But you see, he wasn't talking about the gifts of the Spirit alone. Which, you know, buttresses the fact that a man cannot but learn more and more. Because when we read further, the things we're not supposed to be ignorant of also involve the ministries. We mustn't be ignorant of the ministries. Now, look at what it says in verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that means that every child of God should have an average level of insight in all the diversities of these gifts. The diversities of these gifts. You know the interesting part? People are busy talking about the Holy Spirit, whereas they don't even know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because you come to know the Holy Spirit from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it says, there are dozens of gifts of the same Spirit. Now, verse 5 says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So if you're not going to be ignorant, you're going to be aware of the different ministries that are in the church. And verse 6 says, and there are diversities of operations, workings. I mean, look at that now. It says, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. In other words, I must also be aware of the different workings of God in the church. Interestingly, you know, the human mind sometimes is accustomed to what it is exposed to. You know that there will be a part of the body of Christ today that, I mean, you know what I'm saying, if I'm going to say this, that when they talk about the Holy Spirit, the thing that comes to their mind is tongues. Okay, maybe interpretation, maybe prophecy. And there will be others that the Holy Spirit, they know that when they talk about healing power. You get it? And then there will be others that, you know, it's just like that. And those also talk about the move of the Spirit. Then they talk about move of the Spirit, they just zero it down to word of knowledge is being given, word of knowledge is given, people are being healed. But you can see that if you stay on that, you are still ignorant. Because Paul stretches our thoughts to gifts of the Spirit in verse 4, and he says to the diverse ministries. That is, the diverse ways by which these gifts are even ministered. So, I am not to be ignorant of number 1, the diverse gifts, branch 1. Okay? Then from the gifts again, I'm not supposed to be knowledgeable again, I'm supposed to be knowledgeable again about the diverse ways by which those gifts are now administered in the church. Now, again in verse 6, it says there are now diversities of operations. That means that, look up guys, we can know each operation. It didn't say there are mysterious operations of God. It says there are diversities of operations. But the same God worketh all in all. He worketh all in all. Now, the minute he says he worketh all in all, it makes it not mysterious, because he had told you the gifts, then the ministries, then the operations. That means that I can definitely lay my hands on the gifts, and I can lay my hands on the ministries, and if I lay my hands on the two, definitely I can lay my hands on the operations in the church. So, with not being ignorant is not just being able to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because if you look at this, the easiest to locate in this particular place are the gifts of the Spirit, because they were listed, you know, in literal terms. Now we can say they were listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith, verse 9, by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All this worketh one and self same Spirit. That's how it tells us that he was talking about what? Gifts of what? The Spirit. Because it says, all these things worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, we can easily know from this passage that there are 9 diversities. 9. And, funny enough, this is where people oftentimes tabernacle. There are 9. People, perhaps some of the most knowledgeable people stay with verse 4. The diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And when you come to verse 5, the average Christian on the street is just aware that there is a pastor, and there is the evangelist, okay? Sometimes they know about the apostle, depending on how, where you come from. And they know about prophets, you will hear a couple of things. They know about Sunday school teacher. But you see, again, the thought here says there are diversities. There are diversities. So we must be able to lay our hands on these things, not to be ignorant. Okay? That's why, unlike the first set of things we taught on concerning spirituals, we have moved into operations and ministries. Because if you stop with gifts of the Spirit and you don't go further to understand the operations of God, and then, of course, the ministries, you are still ignorant, first and foremost. And secondly, after a while, you will have what I would call an abuse of the things of the Spirit, either in your church or through your life. Because you have not completed the cycle of the knowledge of the things you ought to know. So, we're supposed to go ahead. But if you look at the issue of the gifts of the Spirit, again, he mentions gifts of healings. He says gifts of healings. You know, there's some things are included there. He says gifts of healings. Now, when you have gifts, again, it's plural. Plural in form. And, of course, we were able to explain that in our last series on concerning spirituals some years back. We saw what it means by gifts of healings. It just means the different distributions where healing can be ministered. Okay? Now, we have, again, those things listed. And we moved further, you know, a couple of weeks back, and we saw that, you know, when he began to talk about the different parts of the body, he was using a parable to look at the different ministries that are readily available in the church. And you and I could agree that, you know, just like the physical body is, you know, the body of Christ has diversities of ministries, all working in the same body. All working in the same body. And most people are as best exposed to the office or the ministry, better still, of a pastor. Which is just one of the diversities in the body of Christ. And as we saw last week, that ministry gifts evolve from ministry gifts. And most people, because of this knowledge, even the pastor does not know that he does have an operation of God in his ministry that helps him, as it were. Let me use this terminology, and you understand what I'm going to say. Reproduce ministry gifts. He has an operation in that. There's an operation in certain ministry gifts that helps in reproducing ministry gifts. Okay, for instance, we look at Ephesians 4:11, that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for what? Ministry gifts. Work of the ministry. So, eventually we discover that there are ministry gifts, ministries that help to birth other ministries. There's something in their ministry that helps others find their own ministries. You know? And, you know, and when we say, and of course, today when you say ministry, the first thing that comes to people's mind is either somebody's church somewhere or a name. You say, Daniel Agli Apostolic International Prophetic Ministry. You think that is a ministry? Well, you can have a name and there's no ministry to it. The ministry refers to the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following this? When we say ministry, it's not the tag ministry. Rather, it refers to the gifts of God in operation. That is what we refer to as ministry. I remember somebody asked me a question one day, you know, fellow said that I was talking about a camp meeting, and I said that, and your ministries will receive, fresh fire. And the guy said, ah, sir, is it that under this people have their own ministries? I said, yes. I said, hey, wasn't I aware? And I thought that everybody will have the same ministry. I said, yes. I said, I'm the pastor. Everybody is under me. He said, but there are different ministries in this church. It was only what I meant. I said, there are different ministries because there are diversities of ministries. But the same, you know, Lord. And then there are different operations. Is the same God that worketh all in all. As we saw last week, I'm going to see again this week, that even within the ministry of Paul, we are about diversities of ministries. You know, so people, you know, are ignorant of this, you know, many times. So we looked at, again, last week and the week before, how ministries evolve. That there's an evolving of ministries. So all those things that happen to you, we're going to see that in a moment, whether you have a vision, an encounter, or you met Jesus on the road to Ikoyi, or you met him on the road to somewhere, or you went to one man to pray and a vision, that is not the evolving of ministries. That is personal to you. Now, in the case of Paul, which we saw, where there was a case where he had a vision, and the Lord related that vision to Ananias, and Ananias must have confirmed that to the church. He told them what he saw. You know, but he discovered that they did not put him on any pedestal because of that vision. Things evolved on their own. You know, and by Acts 13, which is supernaturally again, Paul evolved. So that vision is not enough to be confirmed. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? To have a vision or you met Jesus or whatever, that's personal to you. There is an evolvement or an evolving that now happens in the church. Because don't forget, the diversities of ministries is where it is in the body of Christ. That is where things will now evolve. Because there's order. There's an order. There's order in the things, in the way things happen, you know, in the church. So we mustn't be ignorant about how these things evolve. And many times also, we saw that a Paul was not ignorant. When he went into Derbe and Lystra, he just saw the guy. And Paul, being a ministry gift in Ephesians 4:11, knew who he was. And he took him. You know, and we saw Timothy evolve over the years. That's the same way. The same way. So, if a fellow is ignorant, for instance, and he sees people like that in his church, because he's ignorant, he may just think it's just zeal. He may think, and all that. And we see people like that because they are ignorant also. Pastors entitled now. They are just, what they have done eventually is to squeeze people out, thinking, you know, believing there's a competition, blah, 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 blah. And I think of that. If you find yourself in that place of Ephesians 4:11, I pray one day I find myself there. People, because they are ignorant of these things, that these things are operations of God. Paul got to this place and he saw this young boy who was a teenager and he saw him. And Paul, just like every ministry gift should be, you know, now functioned as a ministry gift and now developed a Timothy. And not just Timothy, we're going to see a couple of other people, you know, like that. So ministry gifts actually evolve. You must not be ignorant. You mustn't be ignorant. So we're going to look at, you know, a couple of people in a moment who evolved. And let me say this. Both your pastor and you should not be ignorant. Your pastor has a responsibility to do what I'm doing tonight, to take you through God's word so that as I'm seeing it, you are seeing it. You know, and because of, and one of the ways things are going to evolve is what I'm doing tonight. Taking you through God's word. If you look at some of the things Paul said to Timothy, he said, the things you have learned from me. So there was a learning to it. There was a training about it. But not just the training of me sitting down and being taught. And that's the mistake we can make about Bible school. They think you just come, they will teach you, will teach you, will teach you, will teach you, will teach you. Well, that It's part of it, but really, that's not it. Because true spiritual training is by the Holy Spirit. It's not just coming out and giving us a curriculum and then taking us through this, taking us through that, and then you now pass the exam and say you're a man of God. Because anybody can, any intelligent guy can come to that same place. Even an unbeliever can come in and pass that exam, score, represent. Do you agree with me? Yeah. You know? But there are things that expose the ministry gift. There are things that expose the ministry gift that only a ministry gift can do. Only a ministry gift can do it. So, we must not be ignorant. Now, we're going to look at a couple of things. I'm going to stir your mind, in your mind. Acts of the Apostles chapter 6. You know, after the 12, who definitely, 11 of them authentically came from Jesus, and the last one, you know, came, Matthias, came via, you know, the human Turin, which was correct. I mean, to just fill up the space of Judas and all that. And, you know, so we can just say the 12 came from Jesus, okay? And when the 12 came from Jesus, he picked them. If you observe again, Jesus prayed. And after praying, Jesus looked and said, I like this guy, he's handsome. I like, He prayed, then he chose them by the Holy Ghost. He chose them by the Holy Ghost. Everything I do, my Father doeth in me. So he chose by the Holy Ghost. Now, so you see that even in those 12 that transcended into the church age, there was the working of the Holy Ghost in it. It's not just that you just pick people, by, you know, by all that. Now, there's a place where we look at people's faithfulness and all that, and naturally by looking at God's word, we set them into, you know, ministry positions and all that. But I'm talking about the evolving of ministry gifts. It is by the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you, there are people today who are in the wrong churches because, you know, for whatever reasons, there are other people who don't even care about these things. I remember a pastor in Lagos said something very careless. They asked him a question. They said, sir, the way your church is structured, they said, there seems to be no place where we can, you know, because they asked him about why they don't have branches and all that. And he said, well, why we can have ministry gifts. And he said, that for him, he believes that whatever you teach in church is enough for any minister. I said, that's ignorance. Then he now said, well, that the local church is the local church, that if you just have here and do benevolence and do all these prayers and all this stuff. I said, I asked the guy, I said, look at him today. What has he given to the body of Christ in the form of ministry? Almost nothing. You know, because that's the part of his ministry that he is either not considering or is ignorant of. Because if he functions as a pastor, Ephesians 4:11, he must consistently be training and having ministry gifts evolve. That must happen. I'm not saying that he must consistently have people who leave his church and go and start churches and, you know, they just have maybe his own church is God house. You know, have spirit house, son house. Another has church house, another has angelic house, another. I'm saying within that organization, there will be evolving of ministry gifts. That the same way he today now ministers and blesses the church of Jesus Christ, they will be capable of doing the same. That is exactly what ministry gifts are about. Praise God. Let me see that if you are getting this clearly. I mean, it's a very simple thing. In Acts 6, there was a need in the church. And, you know, I told you before that obviously that need that evolved in Acts 6 was a need of which office? Was the pastor's office. I mean, and it just went to deacon. That's why we never heard of any but two. You know, it was rather there was a stirring in their spirit. And this is a fact. Oftentimes, and this is the dealings of God, when you are not responding, because one of the reasons why people don't respond, oftentimes in their spirit to God, is ignorance in their mind. And when you are not responding, things will now happen. Now, for instance, as ministers, we are not to be reactionary. We are not supposed to react and say, okay, people need this, we will now do this. We are supposed to be proactive because we are led of the Spirit. Now, because we are led of the Spirit, we are proactive. We will do things before they happen. Now, watch what I'm saying. In the event where you are not conscious of what God is telling you, those things will now happen. Again, there's a cover up. You will now have to react. Now, to the degree of the knowledge of God that you have, you will now react as led by this. You still do what you ought to have done if you were proactive, but because you are operating on a level of knowledge, you will not get it totally right. Now, watch what they did in Acts 6. It said, look for among you men who have honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom that we can appoint over this business. Obviously, they needed people who attend to the needs of people, the natural needs of people. Okay? And they eventually got these seven folks who happened to be called deacons, servants of the people. But you discover that something now happened. This is where it was now left, it now left their knowledge. As they called those guys, because knowing from tradition of Bible, when you put people into ministry offices or ministry anything, you lay hands on them. Now these guys are apostles. There's an operation of the gift of God in them when they lay hands on people. So they got these guys to handle what? Food, have you? And money. You now see what happened. They now got these guys and laid hands on them. They prayed. And if you know these folks very well, they used to pray in the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit they are. And they laid hands on them immediately. Because of who they are, immediately things began to happen. You will see that a man like Stephen now began to move the power of God. The Bible says, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith, that word there is grace, and power, and great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Before this period, there was only a group of people that had signs and wonders. Turn to chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. In fact, you know, we trace it that in Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost came, I mean, when the church was birthed, that the ones who preached were who? The apostles. Because it was believed that they were the only ones who had the ministry of the word. By Acts 4, when they even prayed, they said, grant unto thy servants. Who are they talking about again? The apostles. Grant unto, they were functioning with the knowledge that the apostles were sent to preach. But by Acts 5, again, we see the sick were brought to Peter. In fact, verse 12, look at Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. So the apostles were wrought signs and wonders. Gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit were being made manifest to the apostles. There was a knowledge gap. By the time we got to chapter 6, what came out of the hands of the apostles in 4 and in 5? What? Signs and what? Signs and what? For whose hands? Okay, so if those apostles now laid hands on a man, what will come out of their hands? Signs and wonders. And one of the things that happened, one of the wonders, was Stephen. By verse 8, and Stephen full of faith and power. If you read verse 3, he was not full, he was just called full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. Honest report, character. By the time you got to verse 8, it was now great wonders and miracles. Look at me, church. This was at this point that signs and wonders stopped being accorded only to the apostles. Because there was now a moving forward. There was the ministry of laying on of hands. We're going to get to that before we leave. Now, Stephen went ahead and he began to preach. Okay? Look at something that happened again in verse 8. And they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So, two things are apparent in his ministry. We have seen utterance, right? What have we seen? We have seen the power gifts. The utterance and the power gifts. If you look at it very well, look up, church. Before this event, before this particular event, these were things, I said that earlier, that were prominent in the ministries of the apostles. So he preached. And of course it was Matthias. Now in chapter 8, somebody else now came by the name Philip, one of the seven. By accident again. Like I said, when we are not proactive, we now become reactive. So by accident again, the church was made to go out around. Initially, you know, those who used to go around were the apostles. They would go pray for them. But by, in this instance, for whatever reasons, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem and then everybody left, including these deacons. And the Bible says in verse 4 that those who went abroad preached the word. One of them was now Philip, who was a brother in church, told to handle ushering. And the Bible says he went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8:6. Are you there? And the people with one accord gave it unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which, who did? Who did those things? Philip. Look at 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many, which were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Let's take it together. I want to go. Take it again, please. And there was great joy. So, look at 12. And when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he was preaching. He was preaching. What did the apostles tell you they were going to give themselves over to? Preaching the word. He will handle this. Now he was preaching. Something supernatural happened to him. There was an expression given to the stirring in his heart. Let me show you one of the things about a stirring in your heart. And Philip is not here today. Neither is Stephen. But I can tell you, if you see them in heaven, they will acknowledge what I'm going to say now. When there is a stirring, when they stir your heart like that, sometimes because you are ignorant, this is going to happen. You will see somebody do the works of Jesus and you want to do what he's doing. You just see someone like this. And like a picture will come to you that you will be able to do it. I mean, it happens a lot to people. But is it because of probably the knowledge of the apostles at that point, they restricted them to natural things. But the Spirit of God opened the way. He opened the way. Because as we have seen, the gifts of the Spirit work with every man. 1 Corinthians 12:11. It works with every man. It doesn't work with, let me tell you where the problem lies. It is not in the working of the gifts of the Spirit, it's in the discovery of the ministries in the body. It's not in the gifts, it's in the discovery of the ministries in the body. Now, this is where I'm going. Call Philip now preached the gospel, and book got healed, and so on and so forth. Now, I want to pose something to you. In the involving of gifts, of the gifts of God, there are two things. There is the private discovery, your private life. Okay? And there is your public life. The mistake people make is that they tarry with the public, with the private development. See, gifts of God can only evolve publicly. No matter the number of hours you fast, are you listening? No matter the number of days and go on the field and pray, nothing will evolve until there is a public exposure of that person. It is in the public that gifts of God evolve. Because the workings of the gifts are for ministry. Ministry is for others. Let me say that, follow what I'm saying here. It will never evolve. No matter what. See, if you like, put MP3 or MP4. You know? And you put it, the one that when you are listening, you are seeing, when you are seeing, you are breathing and all that. And you put the word, you load up. You load up on Monday. You load up on Tuesday. You will not evolve. Because that is not how ministry gives evolve. Ministry gives evolve in the public. So don't bother telling us Jesus came at 2 a.m. He sat down in your room. He gave you a cup of water. Ministry gives evolve publicly. Stephen evolved. Do you know the other ones? We don't know them. No matter what they were doing. You know what they were doing? We don't. We are not aware. But they evolve publicly. There will be, because the way, listen now, the way the gift of God in you will, let me use the word manifest, is by exposure. It is by exposure. It's just like a magnet. If you have a magnet there, and then you now put it in, you now have your wardrobe, you now put all your clothes, and begin to put the magnet inside, and put the magnet, just the kind of clothes on, put where it's full of other things. But it's just normal clothes. You're just like, say, what's wrong? Is it not working? Is it not working? You are fasting. You are praying. Is it not working? Is it not working? Before you know, you are into, what else can you do in church again? You say, it's not working. You have to take it to where there's a metal. If you see a metal, it will jump out of your hand. That is how ministry gives evolve. It must be exposed to what it is meant for. Somebody is happy, wants to go and start a church. You better relax. It has to be exposed. Some people wonder, sometimes I just take somebody and say, go and do this. I look at that. Pastor, you didn't even take us into, you know, some of them are going to pastor for us. I didn't give them, let's take a seat on the rudiments of pastoring. Homiletics and choroletics. If you like, score a one in it. Until you are exposed to people to pastor. Of course, you know what a pastor is now. You are exposed to people to minister to. You know, you can know the anatomy of divine power to heal. You can say when the power is ministered 6 degrees, there's a flow. And when the flow, I don't know who that can teach anything, but they won't go for outreach. Nothing is evolving. After a while, you know, you just be tired of what you know. You just become a lecturer. Become a lecturer. Look at Charles Hunter. When Charles Hunter wants to teach you gifts of healing, he doesn't just teach you Charles and Francis. You know, they just bring the sick. As they are teaching you, they are showing you. You know, you learn that fast. Very fast. If Jesus finished and if Jesus talked about Luke 4:18, and when it was true, took another series on Luke 4:18, Isaiah 60, then by the next verse, Isaiah 60, he's just telling them, look, I've been anointed to heal. Look, I've been anointed to heal. Look, and the people he's telling are the Pharisees. He now calls his disciples, I've been anointed to heal. Look, I've been anointed to heal. And he said that, you know, and after a while, he dies. No. He went for the sick. They told him, Peter's mommy is sick. He didn't say, why is she sick? What's the reason? Let's detect. Let's look at it. Why are people ill? 6 reasons. Number one, they are tired. Number two is a demon. He went there and he laid hands. And when he was through, what happened? They now called more sick people. That is how ministry gifts are exposed. Are you following this? Look at Timothy. 1 Timothy. First Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift which is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at that. With the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So, this takes us back to that Acts 6. There is a public exposure to it. With the laying on of hands of the presbytery. 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I said that last week, that boldness unlocks the gift of God in you. That's what it does to you. Boldness, timidity will always shrink the potential of the gift of God in you. And you know one of the things about boldness? You go and confront it. Go and confront it. That is how the gift of God in you will be made manifest. You go and confront it. So, looking at Timothy, I'll bring that back to that, because when I said this now, so come away, okay, that means that tomorrow morning or next week, I just got, wait. We just said, the gift of God in you will be exposed publicly. Now, we've seen Timothy twice. Paul said to him, and then to the elders. Now, note this down. Public meetings are where these gifts are needed. Therefore, public meetings are where we identify them. Look up. Look up, guys. Note this carefully. I want you to note this. Look here. You will never know to the degree that the gifts of God have evolved beyond the public exposure, the public meetings you attend. Quit all those personal, I believe in my heart. It is in the public that you will know to the degree where the gifts of God in you or are known, that they evolve. Sorry, that's where we expose it. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. With the benefit of Acts 9, where personally Jesus said to Paul, okay, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul. I said unto Ananias, sorry, I'm even quoting beyond Bible. I said, I've called this fellow, I've ordained him, chosen him to bear my name before kings and before Israel, for everybody and all that. And years after, watch what happened to Paul. By Acts 9, the first thing that happens to him was that he began to preach. They stopped him because, you know, he went about in some zealous form. By Acts 11, I've shown you this before, I'll show you again. By Acts 11, Barnabas, okay, went to Antioch. When he got there, he saw Christians there, he saw people there, he taught them the word of God and all that. He now went, in verse 25, Acts 11, to look for Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to where? Huh? Now, this is where we're going. It came to pass, let's read the remaining verse, verse 26. Want to go? And it came to pass that a whole year, let's take it again, everybody. And it came to pass that a whole year, that someone was with the church and taught what? They taught much people. So there was increase in activity. Without activity, the gifts of God in you will not be in operation. Much people. They taught much people. So the first thing we see about Paul was that he began to teach. Now listen carefully. Listen well. That is a primary way where the gifts of God in you will be demonstrated. Give yourself over. Look at the apostles. Same thing. They began to preach. The preaching, the ministry of the word. Same thing with Stephen. Same thing with Philip. You will give yourself to the ministry of the word. And that shows you that takes us back to something. That means you must mature where? In the word. You will give yourself to the ministry of the word. He was teaching and preaching. You know, as he was doing that, we saw in verse 30, we've seen that before in this series, he was now sent to do the work of a deacon. He now told him, alright, after doing all the Bible seminar and explaining and exposing God's word, they say, okay, the prophets came from Jerusalem and said, okay, Saul, sir, how was your teaching meeting tomorrow? Where we expect another meeting for 4 o'clock, sir, we tend to explain about the angelic interpretation of the angelus. He said, wait, we are going to take food and money to Jerusalem. That's all. He didn't say, I have a teaching meeting. I'm sorry. How can pastor belittle me like that? From a Bible seminar to, you know, teaching conference to take, you know? Because we have seen again that one of the things about ministry is that your faithfulness is proven in natural things. As these things evolve, one of the things that happen to you is that you're humble. So they sent him to do natural things. You know when he got to Jerusalem? You know what he didn't do? He talked to the purpose. He didn't get to Jerusalem and say, well, are you guys aware I used to hold meetings in Antioch? I've been doing some teaching in Antioch. Though this time around I came to bring money, but I don't know. When did you guys hold your meetings? Tuesdays? I said, okay. I know Peter won't mind. At least he loved Jesus. Let's have meetings on Wednesdays before I go back to Antioch. Let's have those meetings on Tuesdays and on Wednesdays and all that. I have some things I want to show you, you know, that you probably would like to know and all that. At that point, he's pushing himself. What did he do? Chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had done what? That's all. When they had fulfilled, what was their ministry? They took relief to the church. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay? So, there were these people by activity. At what point? So we said Paul is either a prophet or a teacher, or a prophet or a teacher or both. Now, but we can deduce intelligently that definitely in Antioch, Paul was a teacher. Let me see if you agree with that. Definitely in Antioch. So what we don't know is whether he was also a prophet. Obviously, Barnabas was a teacher. So I think I probably would agree with those who say that everybody in that list, in this particular instance, were prophets and teachers, both. Okay, but I mean, that we can't split years over that and start a donation on that. But that's the basic fact. So in Antioch, it was now the teaching gift, okay, now evolved. And by what? Much activity. It was now known as a teacher in the church. Obviously, as a prophet also, but I mean, like I said, let's leave that. Now, one thing you're going to see now, again, like we saw earlier, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, now take your hand and put activity. Do you know that the ministering to the Lord and fasting was not personal? It was for the whole church. They were involved in church activity. We don't know how many days they ministered to the Lord and fasted, but obviously it was not one day. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, how do I know it's not one day? If he says, if that's the Lord and fasted, put it in past tense, that means that at least they are done one day. Eh? And when they were through with this verse 2, when they had fasted and prayed, that means they did another one day. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So that means they were involved in that. You see, when you see people who take themselves out of the general assembly and they want to be doing things separately, they are just people who are deceived. You are living where you ought to have been. How do I put it now? You ought to be trained and brought forth to a personal delusion. Right in that church, they ministered to the Lord and then they fasted. Look at what happened. They laid hands on them and sent them away. So verse 4 says, being sent by the Holy Ghost. So there is a supernatural equipment in, of course, those who laid hands on them were the ministry gifts. Don't go and get somebody to lay hands on you. Your uncle. And if you're not sure the person is a ministry gift, nothing supernatural is going to happen. Amen? Amen? Empty hands on empty heads. So, invariably, when hands are laid, something supernatural happens. When hands are laid by ministry gifts, and these ministry gifts were familiar. Don't just go to any meeting and people are just praying for you. You know, all those funny things, they were familiar. Whether it's from the apostles to Stephen and Philip, whether it's to Paul in Antioch or to Timothy, they were familiar. Somebody probably what I'm saying here now. Are you getting this? Okay? So, he says, when they laid hands, something supernatural happened. There seemed to be a stirring. Paul did more from Acts 13. Barnabas did more. Between Acts 11 and Acts 13, all we heard about Paul and Barnabas, do you know that when they went back, you see, when they were talking about the ministry among the Gentiles, until Paul and Barnabas, nobody talked about signs and wonders among the Gentiles. So from Acts 13, supernaturally, even signs and wonders were pronounced in their ministries. Now, let me now settle with this and ask a question. We have seen the public. Now, when we talk about public exposure, there are two things. We look at a typical church meeting where believers are gathered together, where you all come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, and basically believers are gathered together. And when, just like Acts 8, Philip now went to Samaria to preach Christ. And also in the event of Paul, they went to the uncharted regions to preach the gospel. You know? When that happens, we have two happenings here. We have the church where we all come together like this, Acts 13, Acts 6. And we have the Philip example of Acts 8 and the Stephen of Acts 6, 9. Where do you think the priority is? That means we have two places where the gift of God evolved. They are both exposures. Where do you think the priority is? Where? He wants to answer. Where? Why? He said he's sent from there. Who else can tell me something? Where's the priority? Is it church or, like Philip's case, an outreach meeting? Because, now, there's a young guy, you know, we've seen that it has, I mean, there's no private exposure. It has to be a public exposure. Public exposure is now into two places. In the church or outside the church. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So which one seems to have a priority? Yes, sir. We are saying that there are two things. Church will mean believers among believers. Outreach will mean like Acts 8, Acts 6, outside. Even Acts 13, Paul's case. He went among the Gentiles, right? Among believers. Why? Yes. That's not, that was, yeah? The priority will be outside. Who else? Let's have two more. So that means that if I in my personal life have a stirring, I just have an outreach meeting. Is that what you are saying? I just want to be clear. So the minute they discover you, you get out. That's what you are saying. That thank you. Cheers, huh? Cheers. Don't lose the order in the Bible. Where are believers edified in the church? Where are they stirred and provoked unto good works? It's among believers. It's among believers. So the priority for you as a believer should be in the church meeting. That's to be your priority. The church meeting. What happens in the church meetings is that the church meetings will equip you, okay? And the exercise of that equipment will be in the outreach meeting. But the outreach meeting is where we exercise it. But there's something that should be your priority. That means that, you know, your priority should be amongst believers. When Paul now said to Timothy to stir up the gift, where do you stir things up? Huh? Where do you stir things up? It's in the church. That is where we get edified. We come together, we're edified. Hebrews 10:24 says we are stirred up. It's amongst one another. We provoke ourselves unto good works. So primarily it's in the church. Things are stirred up. These operations are now giving an atmosphere. An atmosphere. In the church. Let's just begin to close now. So, the gist, really, about the exposure of ministry gifts, and it's about knowing the dual nature of public meetings. Whether it's first of all in the local church, then the church, of course, just like the pastor, should always ensure that there are avenues where these things, upon discovery, are exposed, are exercised. That must happen. And let me just be very, very frank with you, because I know that in the minds of some very ignorant people, yeah, well, that means that every pastor will now organize our church for you. All that is going to happen is a very, very simple thing. Just those simple things like, let's go out for evangelism. We're exposing something. It's going to be based on, of course, we'll just gather people and say, where are the believers? Okay, we are believers. Okay, we are starting a church now. The church has started. We are believers. We're going to have evangelism. No. Those believers are discovered in the church. And then, with so many meetings we're edified, then we expose ourselves with those activities. Instead of having circumstances send Philip to Samaria, we just say, well, next week, church, we're going to have outreaches in 6 different villages and all that. And then we all go there. And these things are exposed. That's why when your church does these things, get involved. Get involved. Get involved well. That's where these things are exposed. Forget the, I'm praying. Yeah, as a Christian, you pray privately, you study God's word privately and all that. But let me say this to you. One of the ways, I think I showed you this when we looked at Antioch, that it appears like Antioch had the ministry gifts to the degree of what they were exposed to. I think I showed you that. It was what they were exposed to. Prophets came from Jerusalem. They were prophets in Antioch. Teachers came. So now, obviously, you know, knowledge plays a lot of part in it. And what your church is exposed to. Why did I say that? There's something by a ministry gift, particularly somebody who is teaching God's word. There's something about coming under the same function. Besides just informing you of God's word and educating in God's word, you get something stirred in you to also teach. You know, you discover this, and I have to close just now because I didn't even reach half of what I want to teach. You know, when you see, you know, someone leaves a teaching meeting, particularly maybe among ministers, and you have something like a wonderful time of studying God's word, and you feel like landing on any church. I mean, I've said that before, and sharing them apart with God's word. You know, that's exactly what happened to you. Something was stirred up. Amen. Praise God. That is what happened. So imagine a ministry gift now. Who doesn't come under that unction? You will have problems. What you are doing, when you come to be taught God's word, besides just learning God's word for yourself, you are also a minister. Exposing your gifts to be stirred up. The next time around, we are going to start looking at the gifts of the Spirit in ministry gifts. Hallelujah. Praise God. How does it function? Because there are diversities of operations. Glory to God. We'll go see it. Amen. Have you got some out of this? Did you get some out of this? Let's thank God. Bless you.